Okay, good morning. I'm down here at Beach Lane with Radio Karen for our Beach Lane Presents. A big welcome to Stuart Robertson, who's joining me this morning.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And Stu's come down to chat to us about a few things. Stu's a coach and a kinesiologist, and he works with small business owners who are looking at trying to find that right balance as they're starting their own business, coming out of maybe a 9 till 5 and not wanting to burn out while beginning their own business, which can so often happen. So we're going to talk about a few things this morning. But first of all, Stuart ran a Man on Fire workshop at Beach Lane recently. So why don't you tell us a bit about how that went and what you went through with the guys on that?
Sure thing. So it was probably about two, 3 weeks ago. It was a full day event. I've never done a full day event, though I knew that coming into this workshop, you've actually came to Love Activation, which was a women's workshop, which was kind of about 4 or 5 hours, which was really successful. Though I really wanted to, I know through the workshops that I've done in the past that spending a full day with another man and a group of men, really, really, we could really dive deep within ourselves and work and support one another to get to where we want to be by the end of the workshop. So Man on Fire is about awakening that warrior within and awakening the heart warrior and harnessing the fire within. So what do I mean by that? It's there. Men have forgotten that we are actually these amazing heart-centered humans. And there's this dogmatic way of thinking about how masculinity is. And, you know, we have to be muscly. We have to have the right body. We have to have the right looks. We have to hold our shit together. We have to hold the fort. We've got to, you know, boys don't cry. We can't show emotion because men don't do that. I mean, how far back do we have to go to kind of see when this paradigm has started where men have forgotten to be human, and it's almost seen as taboo to talk about their feelings, to talk about sex, to ask for what they want. And Man on Fire was something that really was quite spontaneous, because I was going to do another love activation straight after the first one, but I just wasn't feeling it. And I guess at the time I was going through some personal transformation, and I just thought, I actually want to run a men's event, full day men's event. And I have to say, I was inspired by my dad, who'd had a heart attack last year. I almost felt like I was going to lose him. And this was kind of around Christmas time, and there was a lot of stress and a lot of kind of panic around, you know, would he pull through? And basically, sitting in hospital with my father, I heard and saw a part of myself in my dad through what he was telling himself, through what he wasn't talking about, through the vulnerability that I saw in him for the very first time in my life, because death was knocking on the door, quite literally. And our whole family was feeling it, and Dad was feeling it, and then he had his surgery, had a few complications afterwards, but Dad's alive and well, and he's lost a lot of weight, and he's doing really, really, really well. Though at that time, I was inspired to do love activation with the women, and I did that. Though the next time I was like, you know, what about the men? And I was looking at some statistics just for some research to leading up to Man on Fire. And the ratio of suicide in Australia for the last 10 years has been 4 to 1 in favour of men. When I say in favour, it's like it's 4 times as much as women. And I was like, that's ridiculous. And, you know, do the work that I do in coaching and in kinesiology as well, it's like, you know, a lot of my work is around emotion, is around feeling, is around coming back to someone's childhood, is around looking at all the disbelief, the programming, the habits that really stop a man from being who they are, not what they think they need to do. So, you know, Man on Fire was really inspired by my charge to do something about this. You know, I look at that statistic and I go, something has really got to change. And I almost swore then, because I'm really passionate about it. And like looking back at my life when I was at school It's like there were, you know, even talking about sex education was ridiculous. Like, I went to a Catholic school. I won't name it because it was a good school. Though I feel like there could have been so much more in the system to educate not just boys but girls about what really is going on in their body, because that is one of the most I don't know about you, but that's one of the most challenging times I ever went through as a child. Like, coming from 12, 13, you're starting to go through puberty, you know, all these hormones and all these emotions are coming up, and it's like we're not shown how to govern these and to allow these to flow through us and to live our life through. My vision is to create change through this, and I want to get into schools eventually and to create programs and subjects that does educate especially young boys about what's going on about sex and relating to women and how they should actually interact and how they feel. What do they actually want? Their desires, their needs, their wants. It's like there's so much that we're born to tap into that we just don't. So Man on Fire was about tapping into every single part of who we are. The event itself was full day, and I broke it up into quarters. And the first quarter was about actually tending to the fire within. And tending to the fire within was actually looking at the synthetic masculine versus the authentic masculine. Now, what is that? Basically, the synthetic masculine, from my experience, is just a bunch of bullshit. Like what I was saying before about how we should look, how we need to hold the fort together, what men have to be doing, but what is really going on beneath? Like, you know, depression, anxiety, and stress. It's like that's one of the main things that leads up to suicide eventually. And then there was other causes in that statistic I shared with you about social isolation and the loss of a loved one, and I almost experienced that. Also losing a job, like actually having something taken away from a man, it's like that's going to create an impact on him on some level, and if he doesn't have any tools or resources to deal with that and see it as normal, as a normal part of life, rather than a lot of people can ask men especially, what's wrong? You know, if a man's feeling depression, what's wrong with you? Why does it have to be something wrong? How about, are you okay? How are you? Like, they're completely different questions that allow a man to feel empowered to go wherever he needs to go. You know, I'm actually feeling really depressed today. Okay, how can I support you? Like, that's just foundational in any relationship, to give a man an opportunity to speak out and to ask for help. Because, you know, I look around our culture. I love Australia and I love living here, but we've got some work to do, and I'm heading that front in the work that I'm doing with my men. And, you know, I do work with women as well, though especially with the men, it's like, and young adolescent boys, it's like I'm going to be taking my business to the next level over the next year, to be reaching as many people as I can to talk about this subject and empower young adolescent boys and men, so it's like fathers and their sons, to move through all this and to smash that old paradigm, because it's a problem and you just have to look at the statistic. So also talking about the feminine and masculine qualities of men, because women have that as well. It is really important to know that we have both, because feeling depressed, it's like, you know, that's something that we can... It's usually from something like suppressed or pushed down anger, which as men we have to feel that, we have to let it go. And sometimes you look at domestic violence, we let it go in a very dysfunctional way. So it's about learning to have a functional way of dealing with anger so you don't get depressed. And talking about the masculine feminine qualities of men was something that was in the first pillar of Man on Fire. So it's basically... The first part of Man on Fire was actually just getting that pink elephant in the room on the table and going, this is what's going on. How do you feel about it? Getting the men to share, getting them to write what's really going on for them in their lives. And then, you know, what do you actually want? And there were other pillars. that I set up throughout the day. The second pillar was about, you know, really asking yourself what it is that you do want and what's stopping you from getting there. And I had them, you know, we did some mirror work, you know, one-on-one, which is really powerful exercise. And then we also, we looked at ourselves in the mirror, because upstairs in the studio, we've actually got a bunch of mirrors. So looking into the mirror, I could see deep down how hurt I've been in the past, and also the power that's in my vulnerability. My vulnerability is my greatest strength, I saw. And in the third pillar, what we write in the second pillar, I get the man to claim that. So we actually do some physical work. We go down to the beach and we get physical. And there's a, I won't disclaim it now, because I don't want to give too much away for the next man on fire, but we basically get physical, and that, if you really want this and you're not willing to compromise on what you want, then you better claim it, because it's not going to fall on your lap. So that's a healthy masculine as well. It's like being really clear about what I want and not hurting anyone else or putting anyone else out to go get that, but aligning myself to my heart, to my mind, to my gut, in able to make that happen and take that inspired action that I need to take in order to get there. And the fourth pillar, I share some tools and practices that are very yin based. So yin is actually, you know, is the feminine quality that coming into winter is really, really important for men to do, to really nurture their kidney energy and nurture their yin energy. So that's pretty much the four pillars of what I call awakening the warrior within. And it was so much fun. I'm really pumped for the next one. I feel like I've said everything about it, but I'm going to be doing another one in probably after the next winter festival, Beach Lane Winter Festival. I'm not sure about the date yet, but stay tuned for that for sure.
Fantastic. It sounds like such a phenomenal workshop, and something that is a real need, like you say. It's not something that especially boys and then men get taught, and there seems to be a lot of this sort of thing in the wellness space for females, but there's not as much on offer for the men. So sounds like a really great movement and workshop, and getting the guys into feeling more and shifting the paradigm, like you say, about what is the society's expectations versus what men are as humans, just the same as women, with feelings and emotions and all the rest of it. Can you share any feedback you received from some of the attendees at your last workshop?
So I had a few guys. I followed up with them pretty much straight after, and I think there was, I had one guy who was a rugby coach, and in the third pillar we actually went down to the beach, and I nominated myself to go first in the exercise. And, you know, I'm kind of disclosing it, but that's okay. The exercise was about me running to a circle, and in my circle was my freedom. Now, I had guys in the way that were stopping me, which can be life. Life stops you from getting what you want sometimes, and how much do you really want it? And I got smashed by this coach, and I got smashed again when I got back up, because a rugby tackle is very different from a football tackle, like an AFL tackle. They finish their tackles, and I got finished a couple of times. So I guess feedback, it was allowing them to see what's going on in their relationships. And I feel like there was a couple of guys who resonated with the more the meditation and the yin-based work, more so than the tackling and the physical stuff. Because, you know, I would say that a lot of the men do that in their life, whether they're working 80 hours a week, whether they just push. And I think the meditation and the practices and tools that I show them, they got a lot more out of that, they said. So that allows them to drop into their feminine, to really nurture that. And in what happens in the feminine is where we really start to rest, like we sleep better. We are more open emotionally, we're more vulnerable, and we start to build resilience in our vulnerability rather than being vulnerable and shitting ourselves and feeling really scared. So that part they really did like, and the physical stuff they did like as well, but more so the meditation and the practices that I share through Men on Fire.
Interesting. So it's really about finding that balance, isn't it, between the masculine and the feminine, mm-hmm. and the tackling component. Sounds like a really fascinating way of exploring that as well, because, yeah, you get knocked down in life and you have to push mm-hmm. and strive to get back up again.
Yeah.
But you've also come to an interesting point around touch and the physical and that type of thing. So let's talk a little bit about touch and how important that is, and maybe why the men struggled a little with the physical in that regard too.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I guess like with the exercise in the third pillar, it's very physical and it can be seen as something that's normal because it's a sport, like Australia's massive sport. Though there's a difference between physical touches and getting tackled, but also sitting down like you and I are, or if a group of men are together and two men, like if I was on a train and I'm with my, you know, couple of close male friends and I hug my friend and put my arms around my friend, which I do because I love all of my friends, especially my male friends as well, because I find that I'm a very kinesthetic person. A kinesthetic means that I feel a lot. I like touch. Touch for me is something that allows me to govern my emotional state and my senses as well. And platonic touch is something that one of the guys who came to Men on Fire, he shared a really cool video about the difference between sexual intimacy, sexual touch, and platonic touch. Now, platonic touch, for those of you going, what the hell is platonic touch? I was the same. It's intimate. It's shown intimacy that's not sexual. So if I was sitting on the train with a friend and I started to put my hands, around my friend's shoulder, like just to literally say, dude, like, I love you. And not that I'm saying that to him, but it's like, it's an embrace of affection. And when a man can actually just sit there and receive that, and also a man can give that as well, as just something that's normal. Now, there can be a lot of stuff that's like, ooh, these guys must be together, or these guys must be gay. And that's something that, you know, potentially I've come across a lot of people who don't want to be affectionate in public, especially gay men, because they don't want to be ridiculed. And I think that's really, that sucks, because, you know, when you're in love with someone, you're in love with someone. Though the difference between platonic touch and sexual touch is that platonic touch is something that I do with my brother, with my dad, and, you know, I'm even with a client. I've got a client who's in one of my programs, and, you know, we had it because we're really close as well. We hugged after one of his sessions, and I unconsciously did this. I tapped him on the back, and he goes, "Hey, Stu, have you ever looked into what that means when you're actually tapping on the back?" And I was completely unaware. I just went, "Did I just do that?" And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "What do you make of that?" And I said, "I actually don't know. Probably because I was pretty maxed out after the session, and I probably just wanted to chill out after it, and it was at the end of my day. So also a boundary thing as well. But the tap on the back, it's like I probably wanted to finish it quicker than it needed to, than it could have been. You know what I mean? So I kind of wanted to to just finish it up. So I guess the platonic touch is, it's so important for all of us, you know, men and women, but for men especially. And this is something that, you know, potentially I can take clients through, men especially. I'm finding there's a bit of a theme for men at the moment, and it's around touch. And I'm finding that, you know, it all starts from when we were first born, and sometimes even before, you know, being in utero. When we're first born, we have that mother skin on skin contact with our mum and our dad, or just one or the other. Sometimes it doesn't happen. So it's looking into what has actually happened from birth, even before birth, and then, you know, for the first 7 years, which is when we're imprinting both of our mum and our dad. And we're still learning off our dad when we're, you know, from the 7 to 14, when we're young adolescents as well. Though we're seeing what is normal and what is actually safe. Because when we're first exposed to our mother's breast and skin-on-skin contact, this is where our nervous system and our reptilian brain aligns with our mother's nervous system or our dad's nervous system, and we actually start to feel safe within ourselves. This is where we start to feel safe within ourselves, and from that comes trust. And after trusting ourselves over months and years, we start to build confidence. Now, how can that confidence evolve? It can evolve into feeling really comfortable about talking about sex, feeling really comfortable about hugging someone, feeling really comfortable about being myself. And I feel like in this day and age, if we can't actually show affection by touch, because, you know, physical touch, our senses, one of our senses is touch. And if we're stripped of that and robbed of that and that's suppressed, that can create problems. And you look at social anxiety, that can be one thing. Look at depression. And you look at suicide, it's like, to me, I don't have the proof per se, but I kind of go, that kind of makes sense to me. Like, if I don't get touch from someone, like I've got a cat staying with me at the moment, a friend's cat, and oh my God, my dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin levels, which are happy hormones, they're like skyrocketing at the moment because I get love from her at night and in the morning. It's amazing. She was pissing me off last night because she was just meowing to go in and out. I was like, God, freaking cat. But they're so independent, you can't just say, come on, they'll just look at you and go, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't care. So yeah, look, platonic touch, just general touch, is something that I'm an advocate for. And those are the people who do know me will know that. I don't hug everybody, but though you get to know me, you're going to get a hug. You know, I'm a really warm person, and that's something that I love to do. And then, you know, sexual touch is also really, really important as well, because, you know, we're talking about pleasure. Thank you. We're talking about sexual pleasure, and something that I'm really an advocate for is sexual pleasure as well. Pleasure is your birthright, is like one of the things that I live by. And I haven't always felt like that, though, working with the men and doing the programs that I do, love activation, sexual pleasure is something that I feel like I'm just scratching the surface around. Though, for the next, say, God, for the rest of my life, it's like feeling pleasure on a sexual level, it's like that's something that I will be going deeper into. Sexual pleasure is something that is our birthright. We were born to feel this and to experience this on every single level. And like I said, I feel like I'm still learning so much about myself and what I need and what I want sexually. And like Trish, who works at Beachland as well, love Trish. And I'd been talking to her lately and just having a conversation about sex, because she runs Normalizing the Conversation About Sex. And we need to normalize it because it's not normal at the moment. And that's not right. There's something not right about that. And I feel like we all have the opportunity and all have the right to not just feel sexual pleasure, but also, you know, platonic touch, like just general intimacy through hugging, through a hand on a knee, through holding hands, you know? So, yeah, there's some really great stuff happening, though I feel like we've got some work to do, and that's where I come in.
Amazing. Well, you've touched on some really good points, and I think... pardon the pun. And definitely there is a lot of power in touch. So if people want to work with you and find out some more details about your shoe, where can they go?
Cool. So I've got a website. So it's stuartrobertson.com. No, yeah, stuartrobertson.com.au. So it is an AU site. Go to work with me and you can look into my programs. I don't just work with people straight away from the programs. We'll have to, if it's something that you are resonating with as far as transitioning from a business that is just growing, or you're in a business and you're finding that you've got the problems of overwhelm, stress and anxiety, it's like I help with the transformational part. I'm not a business coach. I'm not a personal trainer. What I do is help people transform all the old paradigms, patterns, habits, self-sabotaging patterns that keep them stuck and in fear and prevent them from moving forward, and really align them to exactly what they want, doing what they love, what they're passionate about, making money from it, a lot of money, and having sustainable business that is not, that they're not working for, it's actually working for them. So you can go into my work with me page, if you go to my website, and you'll see all the information about my program. Also, Man on Fire is for the guys out there, if this is resonating for you, and this is if you're feeling this, I'll run another Man on Fire straight after the Beach Lane Winter Festival, which I'm not sure is...
Is July 22, 23.
July 22, 23. Then it'll be either late July or early August. So I'll after this morning, I'm going to ask you about that, and I'll probably book in a spot. So Man on Fire is happening again. It'll be deep into winter. It'll be a little bit different to the one I did originally, because it is evolving, because it's the first one I did. This is going to evolve as I evolve and I look at the theme and all the challenges of men, and I'll bring as much content and as much passion and fire into the workshop to really empower men to live their life to the fullest, get the highest possible performance from their body, enjoy their relationships, and really just love life.
Awesome. So we'll put those details up on the Beach Lane website, and we look forward to hosting another Man on Fire workshop here at Beach Lane.
Yeah.
A big thank you to Radio Karam this morning, and a big thanks Stu, for coming down and sharing something that you're passionate about.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nicola.